Charmy Confessions.
What? You think I forgot about Charmy Confessions? Of course I got you. But there were so many over the break. We had enough to make a bonus episode of just Charmy Confessions. Ryan's here with me to discuss some of the topics that everyone has shared. So if you didn't hear your confession in the first episode or from the finale, you might hear it today. Ryan, how are you?
Rob, I am so good. And Charmies, we love your confession so much. So this is going to be a treat. Because let me tell you, sometimes these confessions are sweet. And sometimes these confessions get naughty. But we love them all.
So I took notes of a few Instagram posts. There's even one from Twitter. But we have three voicemails to play for you today.
Yes.
Now, we're going to play the voicemails throughout this whole thing. We're going to jump around a little bit. I will let you know, Ryan and I have not heard these voicemails. We have absolutely no idea what they're going to say. So whatever they have to talk about is going to be a surprise to us, and we'll have to think on the spot. On a response, we're going to play the very first voicemail to start things off.
I can't wait.
The first one is from Samantha.
Hi, Rob and Ryan. I'm so sorry that my message is coming a little bit late, but I've actually been behind on the podcast by a couple of episodes. So I missed the whole, you know, McMahon versus McMahon, McMahon debate that we have going on. So I did want to put in a voicemail. Mainly because as well, I was in an Uber only the other night and it went by McMahon Hotel. And I just laughed and I thought, well, I've got to, you know, put in a voicemail now. I say that the pronunciation of Julian's name is McMahon. I will give credit to the fellow Charmy, Angela, who did also put in a voicemail. Yes, because in the US, it does tend to be pronounced as McMahon, but in Australia, it's definitely pronounced as McMahon, which I will argue is the correct pronunciation for a few reasons. Mainly, one, Julian is Australian. Despite speaking with an American accent, he is Australian and he actually came from a very affluent, very well-known Australian family, the McMahons. They were knighted. His dad was Prime Minister of Australia for a while. When he moved to the US, it seems like the US media adopted the McMahon pronunciation. But if you look at all of his Australian interviews before he became famous or even after he became famous in the US, they definitely pronounce it McMahon. So I kind of would imagine that it's just kind of the American pronunciation has just kind of been adopted. So it's an Irish last name. So it's Gaelic, which means the pronunciation is really different to English. So please don't feel bad. I know I pronounced it really differently as a kid. I think I pronounced it like McMahon or something. And my dad corrected me because he knew of the McMahons from Julian's parents being very well known and running the country for a while. So that's me, Robin Ryan, resting my case for this McMahon versus McMahon debate, all in good fun and good humour, I'm sure. And I'd actually love, though, to hear a voicemail from any Irish Charmies that may be listening, because it is an Irish name. So really, however the Irish pronounce it, I would concede that that is the correct pronunciation. But it's definitely always been the McMahon family in Australia. So I thought you might find that interesting. And of course, I really have been enjoying listening to the podcast for season 7 and looking forward to season 8. Okay, bye.
Thank you so much, Samantha. This was a thing that happened back in January. I love that we're still talking about it. And thank you for giving us a pass. I will admit I am not the best at pronouncing names sometimes. But it's good that we got that settled. You hear that?
Samantha, first off, so glad to hear from you as always. It was a pleasure to hear your voicemail. So thank you for that. And I did know some of that facts about him because I am a Kylie Minogue fan. And her sister Danny, I believed, was married to him for a short while. So it's so interesting to think of where he came from and, you know, his family being this. And McMahon. You know why? I'm so used to Vince McMahon from wrestling, who owns the WWE, WWF, used to be. So I'm always thinking of Vince McMahon. Julian McMahon.
No, that sounds good. So thank you for that. And next, I want to talk about the poll that I put up for season 7. I asked everyone, what are their thoughts about season 7 as a whole? They could have easily read the question as, what do you think of season 7 of the podcast? But I think everybody knew that I was talking about the OG Charm show season. So the verdict was either between really enjoyed it or not my favorite. This was on Instagram, and it turns out that 57% said that they really enjoyed it, while 43% said not my favorite. So as far as the ones who voted, they actually favor season 7. Not to say that it's the best, you know, but they liked it. So overall, you liked season 7, right? Or could it have been better?
I always say they all could be better. I do like season 7, but I am really enjoying this rewatch of our current season 8. Just having it be really fresh and almost new for, especially Rob. I know he was saying like some things are, you know, not as clear, and me as well. So I'm excited to see these positives. But yeah, season 7 is a good season.
So we had a couple of opinions regarding the infamous goodbye scene to the boys. So I wanted to read these and see what you think of them. But these were very interesting. We had one who said, this made me so mad back in the day that they would cut Daryl, who had been a part of the Charm since the unaired pilot, before even Alyssa Milano, and before Billy and Christy. You know, he left because of budget cuts. They did give him sort of a final sort of storyline. They closed it up. It wasn't like just like open ended.
Yes.
And I believe in episode 3, I was just reading about, they sort of mentioned that he's on the East Coast. So we know that he's alive. We know that he's well, and we know where he resides. He got the hell out of Dodge. He got away from the Hellmouth. He got away from the Nexus. He is done.
I still wanted them to say, he sent these flowers for the Hollowell sisters.
We also had a response to that. I so agree with you that whenever the ending music to this episode comes up, I always tear up too. It just feels so definitive. And it is definitely the end of an era in some ways. Daryl was their most loyal ally and started out as a stranger. And though Andy became like their family, I have thought a lot about how I would have felt if this was the series finale. I feel like it would have probably opened the door to a much different kind of reboot. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, I'm glad season 8 happened because Forever Charmed is a much bigger celebration of Charmed legacy of love and family and the fandom itself, because this fandom really is forever. This podcast is proof of that 20 plus years later. That was from Charmed Yogi. And
I love that.
Callie Missy writes in response to that, says, I think this would have been lovely as a series finale. I love that it all tied up nicely. I agree that season 8 finale is also amazing. I just am not a fan of Billy and Christy's storyline.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, this was to a post that I had put on about Daryl and just kind of saying goodbye and you know, what a character he was to have like this human counterpart involved in all of this. So thank you so much for posting those comments. And yeah, the first comment was by Melanie, I believe. So thank you all for that. Then we have a comment on the infamous scene with the saying goodbye to the boys. This scene, when Piper tells the boys to be good for Grandpa, is a tearjerker for sure. I also love the observation you guys made about Phoebe. While I feel like Phoebe in many ways is emotional, I've observed she always tries to counterbalance Piper whenever Piper is emotionally destroyed.
Oh.
Similar to when Piper was grieving Prue, or when Leo left in season 6. I guess that is Phoebe, maybe in her own way, assimilating the role of the oldest sister when Piper is down. Also, really interesting observation you guys made on Paige and Victor. I always wish some of his feelings about her, or maybe even her to him, could have been expressed in Cheaper by the Coven. It's the first episode we ever have Patty, Victor, and Paige together. And I'm listening to the podcast in reverse, so I haven't gotten to the recap just yet. At the time. Yeah, she's going backwards. There's that. But then we also had somebody who disagreed with our opinions during that scene. I have to say I disagree with your opinions of this episode. This has always been one of my favorites. I especially love this scene. And I understand that astral projection was a sticking point, but I believe one of the teachers at magic school also learned it. So it was brought up before as something that could be taught. I do love the ending myself because it seemed to be the end of a chapter and the start of another. I understand people who thought it was their destiny to always be witches, but that is not the case. In fact, the Angel of Destiny implied that their destiny can change. And these sisters fought evil for 7 years. They lost a sister and their mother. It is only natural to want a normal life. Anyways, we will see what happens in season 8. This is from Sophie. Thank you, Sophie, for that message. I want to say that I did bring up the fact that it was taught and shown earlier in the episode, so they didn't just pull it out of their ass. But I think it was more of a response to you, Ryan, who just didn't want it to be in the episode regardless.
I you know what I take with Miss Donovan? I took that was her witch power.
Okay.
So I accepted, like, if you get a witch power besides, you know, telekinesis, which is the most common witch power, as we know. Yeah, I mean, I get it. I get that it could be learned. That's true, what the Charmy stated. I just think it cheapened Prue in a way. Her powers. That's what I was thinking at that time. It was a way to include her, but I thought there was other ways they could have, almost like at the end when we get the door shutting and with the sound effects and things like that. So, but yeah, I love to hear other ideas, and I love that people enjoy this episode as a finale.
So one other opinion added to the scene when the boys say goodbye to the sisters. Isaiah Kasten also had an opinion about this as well. He says that being an empath means mastering your emotions and those around you. If she opened up and cries, she also opens herself up to the emotions of her sisters, her father, the boys, and herself. If they're going into battle, she needs her resolve to be steeled. And falling apart is detrimental to the plan. The other two can afford to cry right now throughout her journey, especially after receiving empathy. Empathy. Phoebe has constantly complained about the fact that she can't tell if she's feeling her feelings or reacting the way others expect her to. In this scene, I think she knows that. So did that make sense? Basically, her empath power is in effect. It's not really stated obviously in the scene, but if she is sort of like prone to pick up on other people's emotions and have that elevated because she is an empath, that she must keep, you know, focused and not really let her emotions get to her. Otherwise, she'll go into battle and it'll just be like, eh.
So the... the Charmy means in general, like Phoebe's power is more empathic, because right now, currently, she doesn't have the physical power of her empathic power.
No.
So it's more like, well, this is just Phoebe's emotions to begin with.
So letting her emotions out kind of turns on the empath. Therefore, she could be grappling onto Piper and Pages at the time. And she could be going into going after Zanku all depressed and shit, thinking about how, you know, Piper will miss the boys and all that stuff. So that's his theory as to why she was very, like, stoic.
I'll take it. I just, you know, I have no other explanation other than that. So, yeah, I think that's nice, too. That's better for me.
Okay, so I'm going to play our second voicemail. But just before I do that, I just want to share much love to everyone who was in congratulations of the podcast reaching 100K in that milestone. I attempted to do a reel. That was my first reel. So if there were any features and stuff that I could have done in that video, I didn't know how to do it. I see these reels and I never know if they're made in TikTok and posted in Reel Instagram, yeah, or if all of these features are included in Instagram, because I couldn't find them. So I just made this small little thing, but I was like super excited about it. So
it came out good for a first time, and you look clear as hell on your thing. It was great.
But thank you, everyone. And hopefully we can get close to 200 before the season end. Who knows? We'll see.
Hi, Robin, Ryan. I just watched the first episode of season 8, and I had a few thoughts that I wanted to share with you before you guys get into the final season. So I never really liked the story about them changing into other people and pretending to be dead and all that. But one thing that really has always bothered me is how their hairstyles don't match. So you'll often see them looking in the mirror, and for example, Piper has her hair down, and then in the mirror, she has her hair up, and it just makes no sense. Or you'll see Phoebe often has her hair up, and then the person has like a half updo, her other person that she looks like. Then the second comment I had was that I feel like Phoebe has kind of a new look, like a different kind of fashion in season 8 than she's had before, and I really enjoy it. I think Alyssa looks great in this season, and yeah, she wears a lot of like colorful clothes, but are kind of more classy than the kind of weird looks that Phoebe often has had in the past, and I really like that. And then another thing that I really liked in this episode, actually, is how Paige summons Grams for help, and you guys kind of touched on that in the quiz show, how in season, at the beginning of season 7, Paige also summoned Grams and Cheaper by the Coven. And I think here it's kind of cool to see how Paige has a relationship with Grams, and Grams defends her, you know, with her sisters and all that. And then the last thing I just wanted to point out was that I really liked Victor in this episode and how he, you know, if I were choosing a, what do you guys call it, MVP, I would definitely give it to Victor, I think, because, you know, he's taking on so much, like having to act the part of the bereaved father and help take care of the boys. And then there's also the scene where he's washing the dishes with Leo, and he's kind of the voice of reason, like the first person who realizes that this is just not gonna work and how magic is a part of them and they can't just hide it. And then also loved how he stood up to the elders wanting to take Wyatt and Chris from him. So yeah, those are my thoughts. I hope you have a great start to season 8.
Okay, Julia, thank you so much for that voicemail.
So good, Julia. So many great points that she made in this. Wow.
Appreciate it. First, we'll just go by her last message. So again, I did not hear this voicemail at all. She literally, word for word, said the reasons why I made Victor MVP in episode 1. She listed every single point. That is my girl. Thank you, Julia. I mean, really.
The dishes.
Yes.
Get those dishes done.
But that exact conversation, just he's so involved, but he cares. And it just shows the testament of like, Leo, you're in this family. I'm just going to give you the real, like, it's just all of that. So I love that. So I'll let you comment on the hair
You know what, Julia, when we were listening to this, I was dying because that is so true. And it's something that I don't know if I ever focused or honed in on, but damn, I should have, because that is really, in the words of Rob, shenanigans. So now, from now on, Julia, when we have the girls looking like this for a few more episodes, I believe, maybe right after this Piper.
I think we have two more. I want to say they go until episode 5. I can't remember.
Okay, so then...
Yeah, episode 5, because it's like Charmed, Revisited, or Relived, or I can't remember the title. But yes, I think that's when they come back.
Charmed again, again.
Yeah.
But I will definitely be keeping my eyes out for that. And that is crazy. That just shows either they didn't care or they were like, eh. Paige summoning Grams, Rob. So what do you think about that? I know I love it as well. So
yeah, I mean, we did talk about it. And I think it's great that those two have a relationship. This is why I missed Ryan's question on the quiz. Didn't you have something like this? Like, you asked me, like, who summoned Grams?
Yeah, and I said it was Piper. Cheaper by the coven.
Yeah, it's just unlikely for Paige to be the one to do it. And so, you know, shut my ass up. But no, that's pretty good. Also, just while we're on the subject, Philip took our quiz and he reported back that in the season 7 quiz show, he scored 9 points out of 11 for Ryan, and he scored 16 points out of 22 for me. And then the fan questions that came from Chinlin, he scored all 4 of those. But he said it was a hard quiz. He got lucky on a few of them, but he's up to date. So now he's actually going to be on season 8 with us. I think he was just about finished when we were with season 7, but I think this is the first time for him to be, like, from beginning to end caught up with us.
Wow. And Philip is always really good at those quizzes, so that's great.
Yeah. The picture of Nate along with his doppelgangers from Charmed.
Yeah.
So he was compared to the Tracer Demon as well as Adult Wyatt. This is on Instagram for anybody who wants to see.
This has been going on many seasons and many different characters.
Somebody also commented and said that he could also pull off Aunt Lydia and Tuatha based on the hair.
Oh, my favorite Tuatha. Oh, my God. I can't stand her. I could totally see that with his luxurious hair and Teresa for Aunt Lydia. I love it. I love it. Nate lives on.
So we had M_the_name actually write us a question and asked about a WWPD.
Oh.
So they were curious about if Prue was still alive with the so basically they're exploring the podcast early on, so they're in season 3 or I'm sorry 4 right now. I think if Prue was still alive, would the sisters brush her off about Cole like they did Paige because she's the new girl? If Prue was accusing Cole of being a demon, how do you think they would have handled that? Would they have brushed her off as easily? I mentioned in the comment that in season 3, Prue definitely had her doubts about Cole being a demon, especially during the scene where they birthed the crystal cage for the very first time.
Oh, God, yes.
So there was tons of debate on how much we can trust him, whether he was a demon or not. But I guess we can go into the literal sense. If Prue was in the exact same position as Paige was, and, you know, being gaslit the whole time, do you think that the sisters would have responded so clearly, like, you don't know what you're talking about, we've done this longer than you, we know what's going on? Or do you think they would have taken her a little bit seriously about her theories and thoughts on him?
Well, this was a great question. That is one of the reasons I feel like I love Paige as well, because she had to go through that whole ordeal of and being tortured and all that stuff when she, you know, had these doubts about Cole. I would hope that they would listen to Prue after the first time when she was also correct. Although I wonder if we would have even gotten to this point if she was still alive. I always wonder what the sequence of events would have been if, you know, he would have had to take in the Hollow and this and that. So, I mean, really, really great question. But honestly, Rob, I think that they, at this point, they should believe her. But what do you think? I mean, Phoebe is always, you know, stand by my man, unless it has to, unless it has to do with, oh, you know what? Just this actually reminds me, Rob, I recently, and I sent you a clip too of that there's a gentleman that watches, we've talked about this before, these people who watch Charmed on YouTube for the first time. He just watched the second episodes of season 3, and Miss Phoebe has the gall to say that, you know, thing we should do it for the greater good, and you know, our this and that. If you and Leo aren't meant to be together, this is the same season that she lies, goes with Cole. So I don't know. Phoebe's got some bad judgment. This is a random thought in my head, but
well, I mean, standards. I also kind of wrote that the dynamic is different, even though the execution, you know, the accusing was the same. I mean, I think that Prue definitely had the same exact doubts. There was just something about him that she didn't trust. But I think the dynamic between Prue and Phoebe are different, because I think coming from Prue, it's going to sound like that she's a hater, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's always going to be that little bit of a rivalry when it comes to each other's boyfriend choices. And the whole thing started with the whole Roger thing. I think that if it came from Prue, it would just be her once again being like, he's not good enough for you, so I'm just going to create this, you know, thing to make it seem that, you know, you shouldn't be with him. That's all she's going to see, in my opinion. So I think the reaction wouldn't be as easy to like brush off, like you don't know what you're talking about. I just think there will be a little bit more of a personal edge to it as to why it wouldn't be so easy for them to just take Prue seriously. Piper could respond a little differently and be like, maybe she has a point. But I think between Prue and Phoebe, there's probably going to be some hostility there.
Yep. Good point. So we got a few comments from the Charmed Yogi on Instagram. It was so nice to see this. First off, she commented on Neighbor Dan, who's currently on and off Days of Our Lives. So it was nice that she commented on that. And then she had this great question, was, has the many years of rewatching Charmed added to any superstitious rituals you do in everyday life? When I was 14, I used to say the season 2 which I need to read right now. I used to say the season 2 smart spell before every exam. And now, as I was listening to this morning, I wondered if anyone ever put quartz crystals around their room or house space as a form of protection. Rob, I love this, and
good question.
Yeah, I mean, so good. So good and so original. And I kind of did have a few rituals watching Charmed. It's not superstitious per se in this way, but I have one for that too. But when I used to watch it in the original run, you know, like when you're watching the intro and there's certain scenes that they would repeat over and over in the new seasons too. So when, I don't know if anyone, it's like a little moment, Phoebe does this duck out of the way from the season 1 finale. And every time that would come on screen, and even for years afterwards, I would do that at the same time that Phoebe would do it to the music. I don't know. I did this for years every time I saw that happen. And so that's a ritual. And to sum up the supernatural, totally. I can't tell you how many times I was in school trying to rattle off some kind of charm spell when I was doing a test or, you know, hoping for this. And yes, I did with one of my school friends growing up, we did on a thunderous night use Creed the Hollowells, "We want the power, give us the power."
That's amazing. Okay. I really wish that I could answer this question. This was a really good one. Not to say that I'm stumped, but I guess I just never really picked up on things, at least in that literal sense. I will say that when Piper was a teenager and she goes, "I mean, geez," I say that more often than none, to be honest. Like,
I love it. Okay.
It's not all the time, but if I want to say it, I will channel her and I will say it with that same infliction. I also have been more intuitive about superstitions and just watching people on how they sort of treat it. And so I'll just think of Piper and just make sure that I don't go overboard on relying on signs and things like that, because you could come across somebody who doesn't believe in all that stuff and then just kind of, like, you know, ruin a moment or an opportunity or something like that. So I guess watching that episode and watching her go through that, I don't depend so much on that. And I just remember that as an example of, you know, go with your gut and not base it on, like, you know, all that luck charms and stuff.
That's really good. That's good that you even think of that. I like that.
So a couple of opinions regarding our first episode and then just sort of opinions about season eight. Someone said that they love the fashion segment.
Ooh, yay!
Yeah, so that is for you, Ryan. And they want to hear your opinion along with me as if we were doing the first five seasons of this show. Because they're like, I am only used to hearing Ryan's voice right now. So... They're curious about, like, what you think about the first five seasons since you weren't a part of that. I thought that was cute, but very nice and complimentary on your
bless
end.
Your heart. That makes me feel so good. And let me tell you, over the years, especially Phoebe, I can call off the top of my head, just to give you one that I always, always think about, is the denim shirt / I don't even know what it was that Phoebe was wearing.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Denim pants.
Didn't it have like a pocket in it too, or something? Yeah,
two pockets on it. It was a pair of denim jeans, I think, turned into one of those like triangular shirts that we had back in the late 90s.
Yes, now I remember.
That one always stands out for me as a nightmare, and only Phoebe would come up with this outfit.
And a new Charmy, he just posted a couple of comments. His name is Johnny W. Foster. First, he commented on the reveal of Father Victor on Days of Our Lives. And he says, "A very common thing for me to say while watching TV shows is, ooh, he or she was on Charmed. My brain is a database. If someone looks familiar, most likely they were on Charmed." That's awesome.
I love that.
Yeah, I do that too.
Dev's going to say, Rob is also a database, but I mean, that's like everything, I feel
if
like.
I see people all the time and I recognize them. But yes, definitely with Charmed, I try and capture it and put it on the page. Also, he writes, "I liked Billy. A little annoying at first, but very naive during the Christie episodes. She was literally raised by demons for 15 years, and she's back and is questioning the Charmed One's moral character. Billy, be serious."
I know. Amen. Amen. I mean, I don't know who this Billy is that we're speaking about, but... I know what you're talking about in my heart.
All right, we are going to close this up with our last and final voicemail. This is from Philip.
Hi, Rob and Ryan. It is Phil, your Charmy from Australia, Mr. Quizmaster, and I have some thoughts on the end of season 7 going into 8. I'm going to make them quick because there's a few of them. So firstly, Inspector Sheridan, I kind of feel like she's so underdeveloped. I wish we'd gotten to know her to a point that maybe there was something to like about her. Maybe she was an innocent in an episode and we get to see her home life, something that connects us to her so that when she dies, we care. At this rate, we just didn't care. And I like that Ryan kind of mentioned, like, what if she didn't die? That would have been interesting. Make it that she's the one hunting them in season 8. So we get to see things from her perspective. And, you know, resolve it in a way that, I mean, maybe she still dies. Maybe she starts to get it. I don't know. But just give her a third dimension because it was just not there. So we just did not care, really. I also think that the Gordon file that was on the desk in the police station could have been Dan Gordon, neighbor Dan. Maybe that he knew something that we didn't know. I don't know. Maybe he's dead. Who knows? I also kind of wish that he'd have come back in season 8 instead of a different ex, because I think that could have given it a little bit more meat. I don't mind the astral projection in their plan, but I kind of wish that they'd used the spell that Phoebe used in Sympathy for the Demon, which was inspired by Prue, rather than shoehorning in some weird thing that, oh yeah, she showed it to Leo. Thanks, Prue. Because they did emulate Piper's exploding power in Charmed and Dangerous. So that would have tied back to be like, oh, we're inspired by it, which is, I think, one of the mistakes that the writers sometimes made was dumbing it down a little. Like, fans are smart. We know what's going on. We get it. We know these things, and we were growing up, you know, like the fans were now teenagers or adults. Like, you didn't need to spoon feed us that information. As for the scene where they're saying goodbye to the kids, I've always thought it made sense that Phoebe was the more sort of serious stoic one, because I think she's focused on the task. You've got Paige, who's emotional, so she's trying to sort of be strong for her. You've got Piper, who's the mother, she's trying to be strong for her. And honestly, I always kind of thought this plan would be Phoebe's idea, because Phoebe was always the one having to think on her feet. She didn't have the powers that the others have to sort of get her out of things to fall back on. And because of that, she was always underestimated, like, not just by her sisters sometimes, but you look at Charmed and Dangerous, you know, the source was like, I'm not even going to bother taking your power. And yet she was the one who stood toe-to-toe with him. She's the only one who stood toe-to-toe with him, blocking him from Piper and Paige, who were injured or lost their powers. So I definitely think she's the one who'd be like, okay, we're going to get out of this, and this is how, which is kind of backed up by Rob saying that she's also the one that went to the window. I think she's like, I'm getting this plan going, guys. Like, we're going to be fine. So yeah, I'll leave it there because that's probably more than you even need. Obviously, I have some thoughts, and I definitely will have thoughts for season 8, so you might get another message. But I'm looking forward to it. I actually do quite like a lot about season 8. I'm glad it exists. There is some bad stuff. Like, I'm going on record as saying 802, Malice in Wonderland, is by far the worst episode of the series. It makes The Wedding from Hell look like Shakespeare. But there's some really fun stuff. You know, obviously the finale is good. And I think maybe a few casting choices weren't great, but I actually do like the overall story that happens. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And I hope you guys see and remember more of the good stuff when you get in there, and we can just kind of pretend the bad stuff doesn't exist. Yeah, cool. All right. Thanks. Bye.
Yeah. So you guys will find out this Sunday our thoughts on Malice in Wonderland. I'm glad somebody else said it before me. I don't know if it's the worst of this season, but it's really up there. So that is something that I'm going to keep an eye on, because that number 2, I'm so surprised. I'm just glad that somebody saw what I saw, because if I'm just like really, you know, grasping at straws just for this podcast, I swear I'm not. Like, these are genuine feelings. It just seemed like I was watching it for the first time, and I was like, what is this mess? So for somebody to say it is the worst, like, he picked that out of all 22 episodes, and I just find that to be very justifying. So
I love that Philip also said, and by the way, Philip, thank you for messages. I love that he said it made The Wedding from Hell look like Shakespeare. I love that. You know what? I actually like The Wedding from Hell. Especially after Malice in Wonderland, just because of that whole, and we'll get into it, but it's the card sequence that always...
Okay, so I'm saying this right now. You heard it here on this bonus episode. Sometime before this show ends, on Patreon, we will have a bonus episode where Ryan and I will do a full episode of The Wedding from Hell. And we will get to hear why he enjoys this episode a little more than others. And maybe we'll see a little bit of change and thoughts on The Wedding from Hell. So there you go. It looks like we got their wish. You get to hear an episode that Ryan did not cover. So yeah, if you want to be a part of that, patreon.com/BWTH podcast. Sometime during the season, we will definitely do that as a bonus episode.
They said, we don't want to hear no wedding from hell.
If you have something good to say, I'm very shocked to hear you say that. So I want to know. I want to know. So we are doing it. Get ready.
Okay, I'm excited.
I do love Phillip's praise about Phoebe and her reasoning for being very, you know, serious about, you know, saying goodbye.
Well, I love that different takes, that everyone has these different takes.
Yes, I love that. Yeah, I mean, I didn't expect anybody to agree with anything that I say on this show. But the fact that it has warranted conversation and different opinions about it, which is the very point that I had for this. And I just like people's perspective. So it's a scene that I never looked at as clearly before. And it was just something that just popped in my head. Phoebe is not all over these kids like she used to be. And so they're like, why is that? Was that done on purpose? Like, so I'm glad that it brought up a lot of attention.
The window part, like she was getting her plan in motion, because we do know that she would have been, it's true. She's the one who was like, okay, normal life. Let's get this over with. Yeah. And then Phillip also brought up Sheridan and getting to know her and, you know, having some feelings, because, I mean, again, it was just like, bye, thank you, you know, as of now.
I know you're not a fan, but I mean, I told you this. I'm like, we just had this woman chase them for almost 2 seasons, and that was her exit. That was it. It was anticlimactic. Like, there wasn't, like, a big thing. So it's like, for a character to easily go out like that, yeah, I think a little bit of a backstory might have made it a little bit different. Maybe not to make us care, but to get more of an understanding of why she didn't take her happy ass out of there when she saw a man she didn't know.
She's just like, oh, I'm sorry. No, but honestly, I'll tell you another thing. I don't know anyone out there knows Detective Kate Lockley from Angel. I'll take her over Sheridan any day. And
I remember that woman just having a toad.
But
I can't hate. I cannot hate, because it's not about, like, you know, Angel is, you know, as like boring as a paper bag with his emotions. But I just remember her just being so, like, angry all the time.
I would equate her to a Sheridan, but honestly, and here's, I got all these bad opinions, I guess, tonight. Wedding from Hell. And not that it's the best episode, but I like it. And Sheridan, terrible compared to Kate Lockley. Anyone out there who knows that, that's a deep cut from Angel season 1, possibly beginning season 2, I think, maybe a little moody ass woman. But I felt for her. I felt for her more than Sheridan.
Well, I think that's going to do it. I cannot believe this episode has lasted this long. I want you guys to keep sending in your thoughts about episodes from the past, if anything were to pique your interest, and anything that we're currently doing on the episode. Let us know your thoughts. You can DM or tweet at us, BWTH Podcast, or Brunch with the Hollowells on Instagram, all one word. You can also email us at bwthpod@gmail.com. Thank you everyone for your messages, and I hope that this bonus episode was enjoyable to listen to. We still have a new episode coming up Sunday, and that's episode 2, Malice in Wonderland. All right, till next time.
Bye, Charmies.
Charmy Confessions.